Lord, we love you today. We thank you today that you opened our eyes. You convicted us of sin. You brought us to faith and repentance, Lord. You brought us to know you. There's nothing better, Lord, than knowing you, walking with you, walking and experiencing your presence, Lord, and being, Lord, with your people, being in your word, Lord, truly knowing what it means to be born again. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for so great salvation, Lord, that you've given to us. Lord, we are to never, ever take that for granted. We love you today, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated this morning. Welcome, everyone, to Fire and Grace Church this morning. It's a good thing to praise and worship the Lord, folks. I'm going to tell you right now, if you're uncomfortable with praise and worship time, you're going to be uncomfortable in heaven. All right? Because I've read where there's a lot of singing and praising God and rejoicing up there. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn with me because I think we have something for you this morning that I feel strongly the Lord wants me to share with you. But Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. This is a verse that there's been different times and seasons in my life where the Lord has spoken this couple of verses here to me. And I feel today that this is not just for me, but this is for somebody in this room today, somebody listening today, to get a hold of this. How many of you know that your sins, if you will confess your sins and forsake your sins, that the blood of Jesus will wash you and cleanse you? And he says that he will throw your sins in the sea of forgetfulness. He will remember them no more. Right? To me, that's the best news I've ever heard right there. Right? Because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we all could look back at our past and go, you know, there's some ugly things back there. But what it means to be a Christian is not that you are absolutely perfect by any means or sinless, because we're nobody sinless. But there are certain things in your past that you really, if you've confessed them and you've repented of them and you're not living in a habitual lifestyle of them, you really have to truly agree with God and forget them. You hear me? Truly forget them. Quit beating yourself up about them. Quit saying, what if? What if I should? What if I could have changed that? What if I'd have done things differently? Stop it. You are wasting your time. Here's what the Lord is. I'm going to read this. It's Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. One of my favorite passages in the Bible. He says here, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. When I was back there and during praise and worship time, and I'm going to tell you, it's important to worship the Lord during that time. But when I was back there, I was praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, yes, I'm a Pentecostal believer. I was praying in the Spirit, but you couldn't hear me. And this verse came to me, and the Lord said, you need to tell them to stop beating themselves up over the past, over your past failures, mistakes, bad decisions. Stop it. You hear me? Stop saying, what if, coulda, shoulda, woulda. Stop it. Because here's the thing about the Lord. He wants you to forget the things in the past because he wants to do a new thing in your life. You say, and this goes for everything. This goes for hearing his voice. This goes for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This goes for healing. You say, well, Pastor Dean, you know, I prayed for healing and I didn't get healed. And that's what you're living in. You're living in this thing in the past. Well, I prayed, but I didn't get the answer. And that's how you're living your life now. And the Lord says, stop it. Stop remembering things as they have been in your past and believe God and ask God to do a new thing in your life and lead you into new things. One of the things that I've learned being a Christian now, a serious on fire following Jesus Christian for the last 35 years, one of the things I've learned is the Lord always has a new thing. If we'll just listen to him and not get bound up in our traditions or our denominations or our ruts that we get in, but if we'll just keep seeking him and we'll listen to him and we'll obey him, he has new things for us. New power, new anointings, new gifts, new experiences, new sometimes new jobs, sometimes new ministry doors. He has all kinds of new things that he wants for us. Look, one of my favorite verses, y'all look it up. I can't even remember that. It's in Luke somewhere. But when he says it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That's what you need to think of. He loves us. We are his children. His desire is to give us everything he said in his kingdom that we can have, that we can walk in this world right now, in this time frame. The anointing and power of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the ability, the power to be a witness for him, to lead other people to Jesus, the ability to see him do miracles and heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, drive out demons. You should be seeking God. You should constantly be asking God, what is the new thing? What is something that I have never been able to do or I wish I could do? What is the new thing? Lord, I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to see this happen. Instead of living in, well, I tried before and it didn't work. I tried it. Oh, you know, there's people that's given up on church. They say, well, I went to this church and it was terrible. I went to this church and it was terrible. And they just said, I quit. And I understand it gets tiring sometimes trying to find where God wants you and what God, you know, a place where you feel like you're getting fed, you're getting blessed, and you're getting strengthened instead of a bunch of nonsense. I understand. But I found out something about the people of God, the Christians who keep moving forward, who refuse to stay where they are. They refuse to be stale. They refuse to be dry. They refuse to keep doing the same thing over and over again and getting the same results. And they refuse to live in the past. Those are the ones that get up and walk through brand new doors. And that's what the Lord says here. He says, I will do a new thing. He said, I will do a new thing. Shall you not know it? Ooh, what does that mean? That means you could possibly miss it. There's a lot of new things the Lord wants you to walk in and do. Some people can't walk out of their denominations. I walked out of several in the past. I'd say I left the Baptist church, then I left the Assembly of God church, then I left the Methodist church. Not because I hate those or think that there's no good people in them, but to do what God called me to do, I had to be willing to leave, to get out of my rut, to get out of my tradition, to do something different. To be willing to be different. You know what I'm saying? We human beings, a lot of times, we want to fit in, make sure nobody recognizes us because we're all little cookie cutters. And sometimes God wants you to stand out, even if it's that standing out gets you persecuted, ridiculed, scoffed, mocked. I love this. Y'all put it, there it is. Yeah, Luke 12, 32. Fear not, little flock. I love that. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. But what did he tell us to pray? How did he tell us to pray? Pray this. He said, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Romans 14 says that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 4:20 says the kingdom of God is not in word only, but in power. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not satisfied. I say, Lord, do a new thing in my life. I want new things. I'm in a new thing right now. Let me tell you, it's brand new to me, running for governor of Alabama. That's brand new. But let me tell you something. Even though it's tiring and it's tough, I'm having fun. You know why I'm having fun? Because there's joy in doing God's will. Even when it's not easy, there's joy in doing it. You know why a lot of Christians are just sad, depressed, sour pusses? Because they're not doing God's will. And they're stuck in a rut. They're stuck in traditions of men and doctrines of men. And they do things the same way over and over and over and over again. No wonder they're bored. I would be bored dead with that. It would kill me. That's why Jesus said that the traditions of men and the doctrines of men make the word of God none effect. Think about that. And look, there's a lot of Pentecostals and charismatics that think because they operate in the gifts, they can't get in a rut. So they are some of the worst rut dwellers. You know, people criticize, they talk about the faith movement. You know, there was truth in the faith movement. They taught faith. That was good. But then when they got off talking about we got to have faith for $60 million airplanes so we can ride around and jet set, no. Right? What happens to that? That's why, look, you know what the Lord told me? Summer of 1995. You know what the Lord spoke to me very clearly? He said, the charismatic movement is over. Well, there's still folks riding that train. And I'm talking about the kooky. I'm not talking about biblical gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about kooky charismania. All right? All this weird stuff they do now. Laying on graves, trying to get anointing from dead folks. Come on now. That's why I left that too. For that matter, just so y'all know, I left the charismatic movement too. You know why? Because the cloud of God's Spirit moved on. This is something I learned a long time ago. You know, in the desert, when they camped in the desert, when they were in the wilderness those 40 years, the presence of God was there by the cloud, the fire by night and the cloud by day. He was manifested his presence among his people, even though they were a bunch of rebels. Isn't that good news for us? But when the cloud moved, they had to pick up their tents, pack up their stuff, and get moving with him. And I remember my old pastor used to say this all the time. He used to say, you either move with the cloud or you die in the desert. Because where the cloud went is where the water went. Where the cloud went is where the manna went. Where the cloud went is where the protection went. And I remember these words when the Lord told Moses, when the Lord finally got fed up with the children of Israel in the wilderness, and he said, I tell you what, you guys can go on into the promised land. I'm not going with you. What the Lord told them. Now think about this. This is where many Christians have gone. We want the promises of God. We want the blessings of God. But they've took those over his presence. Because sometimes the presence of God is when you take up your cross and you walk into suffering. Not just blessing. But see, where's the joy? The joy is in being in the will of God. Not with the blessings of God. There's a lot of blessed people that are miserable. You think a lot of rich people commit suicide. Well, it looks like they got all the blessings. Got everything they need, abundance. But they don't have his presence because he moved on over here. And they didn't move with him. And I love what Moses said. Moses said, Lord, if you don't go with us, don't take us there. I don't want the promised land if you're not in it. I don't want the blessings. I don't want everything to be right if you're not there. I would rather be in suffering and difficulty and be with you and you with me. That's what this is all about, folks. Following the Lord, wherever he leads you. That's where his presence is. That's where his anointing is. And the thing about it, he will lead you into places that it looks like it's impossible. If you've never been in an impossible situation, an impossible, difficult situation following the Lord, I doubt you've ever been really following. Remember where he led the children of Israel out of the wilderness and he led them to the Red Sea? There was a mountain on this side and a mountain on that side. And the Egyptian army behind them. and a sea in front of them. And somehow they had to get 3 million people, women and children and animals and everything else, somehow had to get out of that situation. But who led them there? The Lord led them to that exact spot. And then he sits there and waits. This is how the Lord does. He sits there, well, just see how you're going to act. He's going to start acting a fool, right? Like you're going to start whining and crying like a little brat. And it leads you right up to it. And you're like, well, he's going to let us die now. He led us here, but it's over. The Egyptians have us now. But what did he tell them? Stop. Stand still. You'll see the salvation of the Lord. The armies you see today, the enemy you see today, you will see him no more. Think about that. And that's why he says here, because he's making reference to this, I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. What do you think he's trying to remind the Israelites here many, many years later? He's reminding them of that day. Remember that day when you were stuck? You couldn't go to the right. You couldn't go to the left. You couldn't go backwards. You couldn't go forward. You were stuck with me. Let me tell you, I'd rather be stuck with God than running around free without him. And boy, he's put me in some tight spots. I remember being in Nigeria in 2006, getting detained by the new Muslim leaders of the country. Yes, detained. And when you get detained by Muslim soldiers, probably not a good day for a Christian, right? I even tried to bribe them. I had hundreds of dollar bills. They wouldn't even take my money. Now, when they won't take your money, you're in trouble. Yeah. And then when they let you sit there from 12 noon in a holding cell till midnight, and three soldiers come and get you and take you out into the darkness with AK-47s, you're like, well, Lord, I'm kind of in a tight spot here. And they wouldn't even talk to me. I was talking to them. They didn't say a word. I was like, well, I literally said, Lord, if this is it, I'm ready, right? Now, you want to talk about, we walked through all these empty hangars. We were at the Lagos International Airport. I just kept walking and kept walking and kept walking. I thought, well, I guess they're getting out here where nobody can hear the gunshots. And we go walk out this last hangar, and I've told this story before. We walk out this last hangar, and there's a Dutch KLM aircraft sitting there. And I thought, well, either they're putting me on that plane or they're about to shoot me. And we walked straight up to the steps, and they said, they finally spoke. They said, go. And I walked up the steps, and the stewardess put me in a first-class recliner seat, started bringing me cookies and all kind of nice things. The Lord made a way in the wilderness, folks, and rivers in the desert. Because I rode back to Amsterdam first class. And I thought, you know, it ought to remind us, there is nothing impossible with God. This is really kind of part two of last week, isn't it? Nothing is impossible with God. With God, though. Remember he said that? Let's put that verse back up one time. That Luke 1:37, I believe it is. With God. Somebody say, with God. With God. Nothing is impossible. For with God nothing shall be impossible. The key to this whole thing right here for us is to be with God. You say, well, how do we do that? Well, let's go to this one. Let's go to this verse. James. Just go to James 4, 7 and 8 real quick. I want you to hold your spot in Isaiah, though. We're not finished with Isaiah. Forgetting those things which are behind. Somebody say forgetting. Submit yourselves. This is how we do it. How do we draw near to God? Here we go. First part. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. What does submit mean? Submit means you give in to God's will for you, whatever that may be. Even if it's going to be difficult, even if it's going to be have some pain and suffering and loss in it. You say, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do, God. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I will give up whatever you want me to give up. I'll quit whatever you want me to quit. I'll speak whatever you want me to speak. I am yours. See, this is what Christianity has been missing, especially in America and the West, is total surrender to the lordship of Jesus Christ. I am not my own. I am bought with a price. I don't get to do what I want to do anymore. That's over. I am crucified with Christ, meaning my old man is dead. My old man doesn't decide what we do anymore. I surrender and I submit to God. This is where everything's missing. People want to say, why the devil's beating them up? Because they don't get the first part. You can bind the devil, rebuke the devil, and do all that spiritual warfare you want. But if you're not doing the first part of this, that's why it's not working. Somebody say amen or oh me. Submit. Obey. Surrender. Humble yourself and do his will. Then you can resist the devil. And he will flee from you. And let's look at the next verse. I love this. Draw nigh or draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Then he tells you how to do it. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify you hearts, you double-minded. How do you do that? You confess your sins to Jesus, and you repent. Repent means turn away from them and start living a different way. And God gives you the grace and the strength to repent if you're willing to truly repent. You know, somebody this week, somebody sent me a friend request. Don't ever do this, folks. Don't ever do this to me. Send me a friend request to send me your false doctrine. Because they sent me a friend request, and I pretty much okay most people if your page looks like it's for real. I mean, I get trolls too. But sent me a thing about how repentance has nothing to do with the gospel and with walking with Jesus. And I'm just like, you know what I did? I didn't even argue with the fool. I just went, okay. Block this individual because I ain't even dealing with this. Jesus said he didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repent. Repent means you confess it, you forsake it. You want to look up the Greek word metanoia, metamorphuo? Those mean to completely change. The Strong's actually says to completely reform your life. Not just to change the way you think, but everything about your whole life changes. That's Christianity, folks. And no, you can't do it in your own strength, but you have to cooperate. You know, God doesn't drag you along. He'll be with you as you cooperate with him. That's why this says, first, you draw near to God. Meaning, you have a responsibility. That's why I hate Calvinism. Calvinism is a lie from the devil. There is human free will. There is human responsibility to respond to God, to what he has written in this book, and to what his spirit says to us. It is our choice. To say we don't have a free will or a choice is the most ridiculous doctrine that's ever come about. But he says, if we will draw near to God, he will draw near to us. How do you do it? Cleanse your hands. What does that mean? Stop doing wicked stuff with your hands. Oh, and then he goes to your heart and your double-mindedness. Quit doubting. Quit doubting. Quit having two minds. What is having two minds? One mind that wants to run after the things of the world, one mind that says, I love God. Stop doing it. Be single-minded. I want to tell you right now, folks, I am by no means a sinless or perfect man, but I can tell you one thing. You can take to the bank about me. I love Jesus. And I love him enough to obey him. It's not just talk with me. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments or you will obey me. It's just like you can say you love your wife, gentlemen, but if you're unfaithful to her, is that showing her love? Same way with you women. You get what I'm saying? We can say things, but we have to back them up by our actions. We can say, Jesus is my Lord. There's a bunch of people running around doing that, but they don't obey him. They don't really love him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. He is not number one. And this is the problem within the church. If the church ever got this turned around and Jesus really became number one, revival would sweep the land. Listen, the great evangelist Charles Finney, who probably led more revivals than any single man in history, said this. He said, revival is nothing else but a new beginning of obedience to God. That was his definition of revival in the church. A new beginning of obedience to God. And when Christians do that, let me tell you that he always said this too. He said, when the church returns to obedience to God, the Holy Spirit returns to the church, and then sinners are saved. The lost come to Jesus. That's why he says, for if my people will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, that's called repentance. Then I will hear from heaven. Forgive their sin means forget it, their sin. Wash it away. And revival comes. And see, I believe, you know, Charles Finney talked about this as well. He talked about sometimes God had to let things get so bad in different places in the world, different times, to where it finally shocked the people of God into prayer and repentance, and getting on their knees and humbling themselves. I'm afraid we're about to see that. America's idol is about to be broken, folks. What's our idol in America? Our prosperity. The dollar. It's already happening. This inflation is causing your dollar to shrink every day. And soon they're going to turn it into a digital dollar. And if you're not a good little boy or girl, you're not going to get any. They'll even decide whether you can what you can use your money for. Oh, yeah. It's called programmable money. That's coming. Y'all think I'm making this up? Look it up. But God's about to break America, and there's a lot of people. You're either going to, what? You're either going to run to Jesus, or you're going to run to the world system and take that mark in your right hand or your forehead. Take that little chip so you can get your guaranteed universal income from the United Nations. It's really going to be one of the two you're going to choose, which is why the Lord is trying to get us. You go back to Isaiah when he says, will you not know it? He said, I'm the one. He reminds them, I make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. We're going to be in the days ahead. You won't be able to go to the hospital if you're a Christian. You won't be able to go to the grocery store if you're a Christian. You won't be able to do anything. Who knows? A day may be coming here pretty soon. You won't even be able to go to the gas station to fill your car up with gas because there won't be any. Or you won't have enough money. Cost me $79 the other day to fill up my truck. It's getting mighty expensive to travel around this state. But the Lord says here in the midst of all that, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. We serve the God of all creation, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the God of all gods. He's the chief. Folks, get it in your heart and mind. There is nothing impossible to him. And he can do whatever you need him to do. You say, well, what if he doesn't? Sometimes he doesn't to see if you will keep walking with him. instead of being a little brat and pitching a fit and a temper tantrum. See, he knows. He's the one that has the wisdom. He knows. Goodness, I look back when I was a young man. I thank God he didn't do everything I wanted him to do when I was a young man. I couldn't have handled it. It would have overwhelmed me. It would have killed me. He knows what you can handle and what you can't handle. Now that I got some of this stuff I'm doing now, I wish I was had the body I had when I was 35 years old. I guess he just starts giving you more stuff when you get old, so you have to depend on him even more. I mean, Lord, I said, Lord, I wasn't this busy when I was 35. Why am I this busy now? And I'm 54. Because I'm tired now. And then it's like, when you're weak, then you're strong. You know? You have to depend on him. You actually have to cry out to him. You actually have to say the prayers like, help me, Lord. Simple prayers like that. Please help me. Anybody prayed any of those lately? Oh. But I want to get back to that main first point. Forget those things. Remember ye not the former things. Some of us messed up bad back in the day, even as Christians. And we still kind of live kind of through those things. We kind of look at ourselves through those things. I just want to tell you right now, if you love Jesus, you've repented of your sins. He looks at you completely different than when you were living like that. And even then, he knew what your future, what you were going to choose to do in the future. You know, yes, we are predestined according to his foreknowledge. Meaning he knows every choice we would make in the future, and therefore he had a plan. Listen, what's beautiful is God had a plan for us that even with all our screw-ups, if you just get to the place finally when it's time to repent and start doing it, you start doing it, guess what? You'll be able to fulfill that destiny, that plan. Now, granted, there are people. I mean, the Bible says God's not willing that any should perish, meaning God's will is for everyone to be saved, and he has a plan for everyone if they come to him. But he's given them a free will. Now, of course, he knows who will and who won't. But the plan's there. He doesn't want you to perish. He wants you to repent of your sin, confess and forsake, admit it and quit it. Now, I can't say I came up with that one. That was Dr. Larry Leaves, my pastor back in the day. Admit it and quit it. If you want to know a simple definition of repentance, admit it and quit it. He said that was his counseling method with couples. You need to admit you're a tyrant, and you need to admit that you're a Jezebel. Admit it and quit it. I like Dr. Lee had some wisdom back then. He would have married couples come to counseling. This is brilliant, man. He would have them come to the church, the marital counseling. He'd send them to the sanctuary. He said, y'all go pray together for 30 minutes and then come back and we'll talk. He said, a lot of them never came back. They went and prayed together, and they actually worked out their problems, forgave each other, and went home okay. I like, that's the kind of counseling I like right there. Yeah, let the Lord deal with it. Right? But quit beating yourself up. The Lord loves us, and he does have a good plan for us, and he wants to just give us the kingdom. And he wants us to have the kingdom stuff now. Yes, there's a kingdom to come. And where the meek will inherit the earth. And we'll be with him for all eternity. And we'll be the glorified saints in the millennial realm. And we'll rule cities and kingdoms. And we'll teach the regular folks that are still here about the final rebellion that's going to be coming at the end of the 1,000 years. All of that's true. We're going to have bodies just like Jesus. But you know what? I believe this. I believe the Lord wants us to have some of the stuff now. The anointing of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's why, you know, the in Hebrews 6, it calls the gifts of the Holy Spirit the powers of the world to come. We get it. We get a little bit of it here. And like I've told you guys, there is nothing better than walking up to somebody that you've never met in your entire life, you don't know anything about them, and the Holy Spirit just telling you all kinds of stuff about them, and then you get to tell them. Oh, it's just fun. It's fun to see their face. And then the tears, because they know the Lord's speaking to them. We serve a supernatural God. You say there's people around you, there's no way they'll get saved. Do y'all know that that's what was said about me when I was a teenager? They thought that I was going down in flames, right? And I know my poor great aunts and great grandmother thought, oh, Lord, it's just, you know, I tried every ounce of every fiber of faith they had in their being. I tried it. And so when I came back from Arkansas after I gave my life to Jesus 100% and repented, and let me tell you, even my saved family were like, this can't be. This is just this can't be. How did this happen? I mean, it's kind of like when Peter was in prison and he got free and he's standing at the door and I was like, no, it's not him. It's his spirit or his angel or something. It's not him. I'm like, what were y'all praying for? I mean, sometimes God shocks us. But some of the people around you want to see saved, you think it's impossible. Think it's impossible. The Lord said, I will make a way to reach them. I will make a way. He will make a way. Look, I've seen hardcore Hindus saved in an instant. Power of God hit them. They hit the floor, and they got up following Jesus. Amen. That's when I was on the island of Mauritius. Hindu women came up to get saved. I didn't even know it. They came up to get prayed for, laid hands on them, all of them. They even been to their temple that day. They had the little dot here. They hit the floor. I didn't even get my hands on them. Boom, 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 boom. I still have pictures of that. They didn't even speak English. I had to ask the pastor, what happened to these ladies? I didn't know what happened to them. All I know is the power of God hit them. I mean, they hit them. And listen, we were on the island of Mauritius, and there were nobody catching them on a tile floor. They hit the floor. Boom, 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 boom. Didn't get hurt. Got up, born again, following Jesus, giving up their idols, giving up Hinduism. There is nothing impossible to our God. He can save anybody, anytime, anywhere, but he's going to use you and I to do it. He's going to use us to be his channels. We are co-laborers. This is the wonderful thing. We are co-laborers with Jesus Christ. He wants us to be with him. He wants us to be working with him. He set it up this way. Yes, he could do it all himself, but that's not the way he set it up. He wants you and I to be involved with him, co-laborers. I love that term. Find that verse for me. Co-laborers. I'm tired today. I don't even want to have to think. Let them think for me. I'm going to read this verse again. I'm telling you. It's for somebody today out there, and two, I'm telling you, there's some people that have been depressed, you have been miserable, and you haven't been able to figure out why, and this is it. You've been living in your past, and you've been looking at yourself through your past failures and sins, and I don't care if it was last week. You hear me? There are Christians that are even suicidal because they won't let go of the past. They won't believe God loves them enough to forgive their sins and throw it away and forget it and look at them as a new creature in Christ Jesus. Look at them as a child of the living God, that God has a plan to bless them and use them in a mighty way. You have to believe it. You have to believe how he looks at you. Some of you were abused. Sexually abused, physically abused in your past, in your childhood. And I know it causes pain and problems throughout your life, but you are not that. That does not define you. You got to forget those things that are behind you and press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And as you press toward him, as you draw near to him, as he draws near to you, as you do his will, the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit will bring healing and deliverance and change into you. That's right, Ted. The testimonies in this room, look, we're all broken and messed up, wounded, sinful, struggling. And nobody get gliding through this thing. If they tell you that, they're lying. And there's a bunch of lying preachers out there. I got the victory. I knew one that used to do that. I'm not joking. He used to do the little, I got the victory. And I used to go, I knew everything about his life and his family. Like, his whole life's a disaster zone. And I'm like, you lying dog. The best thing that man could have got up and done is just tell the truth. My marriage is about to fall apart. My kids are rebelling. I'm depressed. I'm sick. I'm hurt. I'm upset. You know how much more he would have helped his people by just telling them the truth? And saying, pray for me. I watched him keep doing that until everything went down in flames. Everything. Him, his marriage, divorce. I mean, it went down in flames. Quit lying. We all struggle. But I do know this. You got to forget. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. You know what that means? Don't remember, don't consider. It means don't dwell on those in your mind. Dwell on God. Dwell on the things of God. Dwell on the fact that he does have something new for you that's going to be exciting and amazing and powerful and joyful. Look, folks, I know we got difficulties in this world and we got difficulties coming. But in the midst of that, Jesus said what? That in the midst of that tribulation, we can have joy. And where does that come from? It comes from being with him, being close to him. That's all that's going to matter in the days ahead. Your joy, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Well, what does it say? Psalm 16, it says what? In the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. You weren't created to live without his presence. You were created to be in the presence of God and to know that you had purpose with him. And with God, there was no hopeless situation. If the devil's trying to convince you in your head that you're in a hopeless situation that cannot change, that is a lie. That is deception. We serve the God of all creation, the God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, and he can make a way where there is no way for you. Folks, I'll tell you this little story. Look, I'm doing good. This introduction's only been, it's not even 12 o'clock. You know, God provided. I remember when I tore my Achilles, 100% tear. And I mean, my Achilles tendon was up here in my calf. I had to have my foot just dangled. You couldn't move it. And I had to have surgery. And here I am, you know. We got a one-year-old. My wife's taking care of her at home, so I'm the only income, and then I can't work. And then we got a little church where I'm not getting any salary from this. And we're living in a condo in Auburn on a golf course, and we can't pay the rent. I mean, I was incapacitated for really 6 to 8 months fully And there was no way. I mean, we didn't have any rich friends. I mean, our offerings might be $20 sometimes. And you know, the Lord made a way. It was like miracles would happen. Right before we'd be evicted, and we'd get a miraculous check in the mail for $2,000 or $3,000. I'm like, and then we had a family come up and said, well, they're moving to Montgomery, and you can live in our house rent-free. We lived in a nice house in Auburn for 2 years. Then they came, because they got mad at us. My wife preached one time. They got offended because she talked about the wife being submitting to her husband, and she said, I can't do that, right? So they got ready to boot us out, and it happened quick. And I remember we went and we found a house that we were thinking about renting, and long story, but as we walked through it, we just knew this wasn't God's will. There had been a dream and a prophetic word about where we were moving and what was going to happen. But so we're packing up the U-Haul truck with everything, all of our belongings. Got to be out by Monday. This is Friday, and we have no idea where the truck's going. I kid you not. I was like, well, what are we going to do here? And at the time, of course, you know, it was in the will for me to inherit my great-grandfather's home and some of the property out in Casita. But it wasn't happening yet because my aunt was still alive, my great aunt, and she had a stroke and she was really living with my other aunt. But anyway, the house was kind of falling apart and needed help. But here's the thing. My family at the time, who did not like me, they like me more now, but they didn't like me then. Out of the blue, they call me and say, why don't you just go ahead and move into the house you're going to inherit it anyway? If y'all only knew how much of a miracle that was at that moment, because we're talking about people who really didn't like me at the time, right? Oh, yeah. Yes. And sure enough, we went and parked the truck there. We had to do a lot of cleanup and stuff, but we were able. God provided. He made a way where it looked like there was no way. Because I said, Lord, you sent us here to start a church. You sent us here to this back home, to this community. I know you sent us here. So you know we have need of a roof over our head, a car to drive, and food to eat. And you know, we know what it is to just be, okay, Lord, here it is. The winter of 24. Everybody remember the coldest winter in North American history? Remember that? January of 2014? We moved in right before that in a house with no central air and heat. Totally broke. Everything got cut off but the power and the water. Yeah. Yeah, the hot water heater went out. Then we had one vehicle and the transmission went out in that. Well, I'm going to tell you what, God made a way out of that. And we learned some things. You trust him no matter how bad it is. Because you can know this. Look, you can know, Lord, if you're walking with him, now I'm talking about rebelling and living in sin and doing your own thing. No, you're going to reap you're going to reap what you sow with that. But I'm talking about you love the Lord and you're submitted to him and you're trying to obey him. And you're doing your best to do his will for your life. You can always trust, no matter how bad things get, Lord, you will make a way. Because I have to accomplish this over here. So if I got to accomplish this over here, you got to get me from here to here. And he will. And he'll bless you. If it's money you need, he'll bless you with money. Or he'll bring what you need. You know, we needed it with the gas water heater was went out. So, you know what? We couldn't even buy the gas to get the water heater back, even if we got one working, to get it back working. And somebody just gave us an electric water heater, so we put that in. When it was 6 degrees in Alabama. Y'all know that was the devil. 6 degrees in Alabama. That's that weather manipulation right there. God will make a way where there is no way. I love the scripture. Put it up one more. Jeremiah 33:3. It's not a Freemason verse, y'all. What does the Lord say here? Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. That's that you seek me, you draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. And when God draws near to you, guess what he does? He starts revealing things to you. He starts showing you things you didn't know. He starts teaching you things. And then he'll also give you things to do that you never thought he would tell you to do. Look at the next verse. Go to the next verse. Let's see if it's the one I'm thinking of. Nah, we'll forget it. I don't want to go there. I'm going to let y'all out early today. It's 5 till 12. 5 till 12. Y'all understand what I'm saying today? Can you say, I am forgiven? I want to challenge you. This is what will transform our city, our state, our country. If Christians will find the new thing that God wants them to do in their lives and do it. And do that until he shows you the next new thing to do. And then the next new thing. And if you do that, you'll be what the Bible calls the sons and daughters of God who are led by the Spirit of God. And that's what we're supposed to be like. What did Jesus say? The people that were led by the Spirit of God like the wind. You don't know where they're coming from or where they're going next. Because you just never know. Who knows what's next? I told my wife, I said, who knows? We might be running for president next. Absolutely, brother. Absolutely. We'd be a ticket, but they sure enough try to kill us. Oh, boy. Let's stand this morning. Thank you, Lord. You know what I want to do? Healing in your glory. Because I also feel this morning. I'm going to say this. There's folks that need healing. Kayla needs healing. But it all comes, everything comes from the glory and the presence of God. So we're going to sing this song this morning. And then we'll be dismissed. Remember, it's not even 12 o'clock. Say, Pastor Dean, you did good. No hour and a half sermon this morning. Because I think you got it. But let's do this song right here. Lord, our prayer today is that you will pour out your Spirit, Lord. You will pour out your glory, your presence, your anointing upon us, Lord. You will lead us, God, into the new thing that you have for us, that you will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert, that you will give us the grace, Lord, to not live our life dwelling on, considering the things of old, the past, Lord, but that you will help us to focus on you and the things ahead and new things, so that we may walk in the peace and the joy and the strength that you give, Lord, to your people, Lord, who will just follow you, who will take up their cross and follow you. Lord, I pray that for everyone here. I pray that for everyone listening and watching today. We pray, God, for the grace and power that they'll be convicted to move out of tradition, to move out of ruts and dry places, to pick up and follow the cloud out of the desert and into the promised land that you have for each of us, Lord, the destiny, the purpose you have for us. And I thank you for that, and I pray that today in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Ain't nothing better. Ain't nothing better than knowing Jesus and loving Jesus. Look, here's the drill. We got some new people visiting today. Here's what we do around here. You're always welcome. Bye, everybody. Y'all know what we do. Wish you could be here.